25, 35, 40% of people who move up the job ladder in 3 months will fall right back down it immediately.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. How easy is it to get and to leave a job? What economists call labor market dynamics affects both workers and the economy as a whole. But do our assumptions about the way that this process works apply equally to high and low income countries? And if the way that the dynamics work is different, then maybe the policies should be different as well. Kevin Donovan of the Yale School of Management and Todd Shulman of the Minneapolis Fed are two of the authors of a paper that compiles and investigates systemic and surprising evidence about labor market flows in developing countries, and they join me now. Kevin, welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
And Todd, welcome as well.
Hi, thanks, Tim.
Todd, we need to explain this piece of economics jargon. What is a dynamic labor market? What are its attributes?
We typically think about a dynamic labor market in terms of opportunities for workers and firms to move. And the easiest way to think about that is that unemployed workers find jobs and employed workers have the opportunity to switch between jobs. An easy way to say it would be that a static labor market is one where everybody's stuck in whatever they have now.
And we make the assumption that a dynamic labor market is good for people who want to get on in life. How do we assume that this process occurs?
Typically, the way I like to explain it is to think about a career. A person's career starts with them getting into an entry-level job and then hopefully moving up what we would often think of as a job ladder, switching between jobs, getting promotions, getting raises, and increasing earnings over their life. And in order to do that, you have to first be able to find that initial job, and then you need to be presented with outside offers. You need to get other employers, other opportunities to take new jobs and move up. If you're stuck in that initial job, you'll never get ahead.
I also made the assumption this process is good for the economy as a whole. Why would that be?
I think there's a few reasons. First is when we think about an economy that's undergoing changes either over the short term in the business cycle or the long term process of structural transformation, a big part of that reorganization of the economy is trying to get workers into fast growing sectors or more profitable sectors. So that ability to adjust more quickly is going to have positive effects for the economy. At the same time, like Todd talked about, a dynamic labor market is going to give people incentives to invest in their skills because they know that they can be rewarded for them via job offers from other firms who might better be able to take advantage of them.
We are concerned that developing countries do not have dynamic labor markets. What prior research, what evidence has led us to this conclusion?
You know, we don't really have evidence on dynamics in developing countries. But there's a lot of symptoms that I think make people suspect something is wrong in developing country labor markets. And a couple of things that I think a lot of people have focused on. One is there's a lot of large wage gaps. You'll see at the same time, one firm paying a lot higher wages than another firm. One area, like a capital city, pays a lot more than the rural areas. Some industries pay more than others. And workers are flowing between them, but very slowly. Another piece of evidence that a lot of people might notice is that workers' wages don't grow much over their lives. So if you look at the career of a worker in a developing country, their wages just don't grow nearly as much as we see in developed countries. I don't think we know exactly why that was, but we were wondering whether it might have something to do with the labor markets and the dynamics of how labor markets work.
It sounds like there is quite a lot that we don't know about how dynamic labor markets are.
Yeah, I think that the first order thing would be, yeah, we don't know very much at all until recently.
Todd mentioned, for example, that the wages of workers don't grow much over their life cycle in developing countries, but we don't have a very good sense of why that is. It could be because they're just sort of not accumulating the right kind of human capital. It could be because within a job, they're just not getting raises, or maybe they're not getting job offers from other firms like we were talking about that could better take advantage of their skills. But you can see the connection here to the central importance of the dynamics of this process. How are people moving across jobs or space or occupations or industries? And that is sort of the thing that we don't particularly have very good evidence on.
Okay, so you have built a data set to try and fill these knowledge gaps. But what data did you use? How many countries were you able to get data for?
We went out and contacted statistical agencies around the world and asked them for what are called rotating panel labor force surveys. And let me just briefly unpack those various words.
Please.
So labor force surveys are surveys that generally governments run to measure things like their unemployment rate. So when you see the unemployment rate measured in the New York Times, this is from the current population survey, which is the United States labor force survey. Mm-hmm. That's run by various countries all around the world. And a feature of many of those is that they will track the same household, same people for multiple periods in a row. So think of them surveying someone and then coming back 3 months later and surveying them again. Mm-hmm. And that's specifically designed to get at the dynamics of this process. So for all of the reasons we've been talking about over the last few minutes. And so we went to these statistical agencies and basically just asked them for their data. Some of them are online, some of them are not. But all of the people we talked to were relatively forthcoming about offering them to us. And so at the end of it, we have 49 countries worth of this underlying individual level short panels, which covers about 80 million people around the world.
And these are both high income and low income countries.
That's correct. And I think I will caveat a little bit of this by saying one of the places we don't have particularly great coverage is in sub-Saharan Africa.
Sure.
And so I think there's been a lot of work by both Todd and others like David Legakos talking about how patterns in labor markets change in those places. Mm-hmm. But outside of those poorest countries in the world, we cover the rest of the world income distribution.
So top line results. Do you find that labor markets in developing countries are dynamic by the sorts of definitions that we've been using?
Building on what Kevin said, the key feature of these rotating panels is we can see the same household, maybe a couple months apart or a quarter apart. And that lets us investigate. Are people who are unemployed finding jobs in different countries around the world? Are people who are employed switching? And I think the striking thing is by the metric we usually use, how quickly do people find and switch jobs? Developing countries are extremely dynamic places. And workers there are finding and switching between jobs 2 to 3 times faster than in the richest countries of the world. And so it looks like, yeah, very dynamic labor markets.
Might this be because the workers themselves are different? They might be younger, they are less specialized or less educated. Is it something like that?
There's certainly something to that. And you can break this down just to run with the education example. It is the case that you sort of see more turnover among low-educated workers relative to high-educated workers. And of course, there are more of those in developing countries. And so that's certainly part of the answer. Mm-hmm. What we show in the paper is that it's a relatively small fraction of what you're seeing. It's very hard to come up with a set of characteristics of the workers or the firms that we can see that explains the relatively large gaps in turnover that we're observing across countries. So just to put a number to it, things like education, gender, age differences, these things can account for about 20% of these gaps that we observe. And the other 80% is something that is not showing up in observable characteristics of the workers.
Now, when we're discussing this for high-income countries and we're comparing, say, France with Germany, we tend to focus on the difference in the institutions and how labor markets work. Can we conclude from this that these labor markets, they are dynamic because perhaps in developing countries, they actually have the sort of flexible institutions that would allow people to climb the job ladder ideally?
There, the short answer is no. The very nice service that the World Bank and other institutions do is they actually collect these measures of labor market institutions for almost all the countries of the world. And so we reinvestigated exactly those results, looking at whether these dynamics of labor markets are correlated with any of the types of institutions people have typically investigated. We find there's just not much relationship once we go to developing countries. So it doesn't seem to be that the reason people are flowing between jobs is that they have some magical better institutions that lead people to be able to more easily flow back and forth.
So we have a puzzle here, it seems to me. What is driving this high turnover of jobs that you've observed?
People are turning over a lot, and in particular, they're turning over a lot at what we think of as the bottom rungs of the job ladder. So these are people who are entering self-employment, moving into wage work, but But say, unlike in rich countries where people are climbing this job ladder over time and increasing wages and moving to better jobs, these people are sort of falling back down the job ladder at astronomically high rates. So people are moving from self-employment to wage work, back to self-employment, out of the labor force, back to self-employment, without any of that persistent climbing of the job ladder. And so something's happening where we think of this as sort of the job ladder being a little bit more slippery in developing countries than it is in rich countries.
The way you're describing self-employment sounds strange as well, doesn't it? Are we maybe making assumptions about self-employment that are based on how employment works in the countries where we live? And self-employment's got a different flavor in this context.
I think that's definitely the case. We typically, in developed countries, think about self-employment as being an intentional choice. You decide, boy, I want to start my own business, I want to be my own boss, I want flexible hours, something like that. There's already been a bit of a literature in developing countries arguing that things there seem like they look a little bit different. And kind of the most obvious thing would be if you just ask people, why are you self-employed? People in developing countries don't say those things. They say it's because I couldn't find a wage job. And that just shows up everywhere in our database. People who go into self-employment accept lower wages when they go. And the other thing we see that's really striking is that people who go into self-employment are really likely to switch back out. And they're willing to switch back out of self-employment even when they get very low wage offers. And so it really seems like self-employment there is something people don't want to do it. And our working hypothesis is that what's really going on there is it's a lack of unemployment insurance. Developing countries, differently from most rich countries, typically don't have unemployment insurance schemes. If you lose your job or your partner loses their job, you need to eat, you need some earnings. And so self-employment, what that really is in a lot of these cases, is a small job that allows them to earn some money while they look for something better.
This isn't just a theory. We can look in the data and we can see how different unemployed people look from self-employed people, and they look strikingly similar in developing countries in terms of both the likelihood that they move into wage work, the wages they're willing to take when they get there, and their demographic distributions as well.
In the development research that I read, a lot of it anyway, the researchers tend to report unemployment and employment, and they divide employment into employed in a firm and self-employed workers. This seems like a natural conclusion until you start thinking about it in the way that you're thinking about it. Could this be leading them astray, leading us into conclusions that maybe aren't entirely accurate?
Sure, that certainly could be the case. I think one of the things our research shows is that if instead of thinking about something like, say, the employment rate, you could alternatively imagine thinking about something like connection to the labor market. And I think that kind of distinction is exactly where this self-employment divide really becomes important. If you're thinking about things like social insurance policy, you know, the group of people you really care about is something like the set of people who would take a wage job if it were offered to them. And what we're realizing is that a lot of that group is technically employed by the ILO's definition.
At the beginning, we started with a very neat, quite easy to understand narrative about how labor market dynamism works. Can you give me an alternative narrative about how labor market, well, what we call labor market dynamism, is working in developing countries?
We in developed countries often think about labor market dynamics in terms of career progression.
Yeah.
It's easy for me. I started off as assistant professor, then you hope to make it to associate professor and full professor or junior accountant, senior accountant. And in developing countries, what we're seeing is just the flows are totally different. It's really people switching back and forth between not great jobs and looking for better jobs without ever seeming to find them. And so I think one thing we really want to highlight is this importance of self-employment and informal jobs, just really not great jobs that people seem to have a hard time finding their way out of. And I think that's kind of the first order thing we want to put out there for people to think about.
And of course, policymakers in this area, they don't just want to help people to find jobs. They want to help them to find good jobs. And development policy, the agenda for development policy, is often focused on removing labor market frictions, the things that work against the dynamism in that high income country sense. Is this may be the wrong agenda for these contexts?
I'd add a bit of a caveat to that in the sense that I think one of the things our results show is that thinking broadly about these types of labor market frictions might not be so useful. And so what I mean by that mm-hmm. is that we see people in developing countries entering employment all the time. And so if we think that a measure of success is how many more people do we get to enter employment, then, you know, you're going to see lots of that kind of stuff yeah. when you change policies. But I think what our results show is that it's not really just the unemployment to employment. It's the employment to the next employment, to the next employment, to the next employment. And I think that's a key takeaway for policy from our work is that when we're thinking about these labor market frictions, it's not just about getting people into jobs, it's getting people onto the job ladder. Certainly labor market frictions play a critical role in that process, but perhaps a subset of how we generally think of the broader idea of labor market frictions.
One of our more surprising results is that for some of the countries, we can follow people for just 3 quarters, so just 6 months. Mm-hmm. The share of people who move up the job ladder and then fall right back down it in developing countries is astronomical. You're looking at like 25, 35, 40% of people who move up the job ladder in 3 months will fall right back down it immediately. And so that's the sense in which don't think about finding jobs. You know, there's really hard quantitative evidence that this is about people falling back down and not being able to climb consecutively and build that career.
So are there policies that we could put in place that would help them to not fall back down this ladder if this is the important thing we want to stop?
This is the million-dollar question. To be frank and maybe slightly humble, I'm not sure that our research is going to give you the exact answer to that question. Mm-hmm. I think what we can do and what we do in the paper is try and lay out a framework that says, look, here is the key frictions that are consistent with what we're observing in the cross-country data. And I think that's useful as we go forward, like we were just talking about, trying to create to limit frictions that stop people from climbing the job ladder. So I'll just give you one example. There's been a lot of recent work showing that providing firms and workers information about the quality of the match that they're creating can be beneficial in letting people both find better jobs and also stay in those jobs longer. Our data is consistent with this kind of pattern that's coming out of the more micro development literature at the time. And so I think a lot of what we can do is point people in the right direction to say, hey, look, here are sort of the key frictions we think are important. And then it's going to take even better data than what we have to parse those into specific policy recommendations that we can take to policymakers.
There are always directions for future research. What do you think the future research should be focusing on in this context?
I'll shamelessly plug some of our own ongoing research.
Go ahead, you earned it.
So right now, for example, you know, Todd had mentioned, we've talked a little bit about sort of the ease in which people can find a job, perhaps not the right job, but certainly a job. And in fact, when we dig into the data a little deeper, one of the places where that becomes fairly salient is when you look within married couples across husbands and wives. Mm-hmm. And so what we're looking at right now is sort of the role that particularly women in developing countries play as the insurance backdrop when their husband loses their job. And in fact, we see a lot of women entering employment and in particular taking these low-skilled informal work specifically when their husbands lose employment. And that has consequences for human capital development, labor force participation, mm-hmm. the cost of gender distortions, gender norms in developing countries that we think are going to be critical to thinking about a broader view of the labor market. And then the second thing I would say is I think we're pointing people towards this idea of getting people on the job ladder, and how you do that is not something we can speak to directly here. This is where running clever RCTs, we can provide some cover from the cross-country data to say, here is where we think you're going to find interesting results.
It takes two sides to make a job. We have really great data on the worker side. We see workers flowing, but our ability to characterize that and give that information comes from the fact that the surveys are asked to workers. The other side is the firms. And unfortunately, worker surveys don't have great data about their employers. We don't know a lot about who they work for. And I think there's a big puzzle here. When you see these workers looking for better jobs, it would be great to have information from the employers themselves. Why aren't they expanding? Why aren't they hiring more people? Where are these good jobs and what holds them back? I think that's the thing that we would love to know more about going forward.
I'm really looking forward to finding out what you discover next. I'm sure we'll talk again. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
And Todd, thank you as well.
Thank you so much.
The paper is called Labour Market Dynamics and Developments. The authors are Kevin Donovan, Will Zhanyu Liu, and Todd Shulman. It has been published in the Quarterly Journal of Economics, 138, number 4, and that was in November 2023. This has been a VoxDev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to follow us. Wherever you get your podcasts, you will find us there. Our past episodes, as always, are at voxdev.org, and we also have articles about the papers we feature.